to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman. Do.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome. Sorry, it's been a minute. I'm going to try and do better. But you know, we're always trying to, we're all always trying to do better. See, there you go. I'm striving to do better in talking in an intelligible way. Well, today, we're going to talk about a little, talk about our friend Luigi. I hope you could hear that Boonmaster Flex broke in to complete the song because it can't be helped. It's like Roger Rabbit, right? Dun, 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 dun. You can do it at home. I have my own little way of talking about this that we'll get into. But I guess before we start, I'm going to give you a preview because it's going to sound like it's going a very dark place, and it's really not. This episode is dedicated as a warning to executives who I think should watch out. Now, I'm not saying that I am going after them. In fact, I am saying specifically that I am not going after them. If you're listening and you're on this list, I'm not going after you, okay? I am warning you because I think you probably don't consider yourself someone who's at risk, and you should. You know what I'm saying? I think that like the United Health CEO guy probably didn't really spend much time thinking about being killed, and he was. So this to me says, oh, maybe some of us should be thinking about this possibility. And so I've assembled a short list of people who I think probably don't think they need to watch out, but probably should. Now, again, I want to reiterate and stress for the millionth time that I am not going to do anything to anyone. I just can't. I'm not able to do that. So, you know, don't worry about it. I'm also not trying to activate anyone and convince them to do this. This is a warning intended for those of you who are on the list just to be, like, careful, okay? And the first person on the list is flour bag manufacturers. So when you buy flour at the store, whoever makes those bags, because this is the most frustrating packaging of all time. It's like a paper bag that's just been glued together. You know what I mean? And this is frustrating package that's been around forever. And it's not like some anti-theft thing. It's not like some modern thing that you're like, eh, they screw up everything. It's been this way forever. You have had so long to fix this and you haven't. So if you haven't bought flour in the last, you know, ever in your life, basically it's a bag that's glued at the top. And so you just have to rip it to get it open. There's no clean way to open it. Now, my understanding is you're meant to buy a bag of flour and then pour that flour into some other vessel. Which I'm like, why are we doing it? You know, why are we doing this? Like, okay, if that works, that's fine. But couldn't you create some other kind of closure that, you know, turns into a spout? Couldn't flour come in like a milk carton and then I could pour it out? Something? Give me something, man. I mean, this is also like, you know, every time I come across something like this, what pops into my head is, sharks, do you ever have this problem? I've got an idea for you. And I'm like, maybe I should make a thing that, you know, it's an attachment for a bag of flour that makes it pour out. All I'm saying is, if you are the one responsible for that design, just be careful. Head on a swivel, okay? So that gives you a preview of the kind of person I'm talking about, which I think should probably alleviate most of your fears. That I've made an enemies list here, and I've got, you know, pictures of the CEO's faces with like a target reticle on it or something. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm, you know, this is mostly a jerk off. Okay. So I guess before we get into this, you know, in case you're listening to this in the future or whatever, the CEO of United Healthcare, an insurance company, was killed by a guy named Luigi. And because, you know, basically it sounds like because United Healthcare is fucking evil, right? Everybody else who's talking about this, you know, first says something about like, I feel bad for the CEO's family or whatever. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you and say I don't, because I don't know them. I don't care about them. But also, you know, what this guy was doing is horrible. I've had United Healthcare coverage for like 20 years and it sucks. I'm here to tell you it sucks. You know, I looked into some stuff and it's like their rate of turndown for the specific procedure I was looking at is like 3 times higher than any other competing, you know, industry competitive similar insurance. So, I mean, they suck. Like the coverage sucks and they're just basically trying to pay as little as possible. They're not trying to like make you healthy or keep you healthy. They're just trying to extract money from you and then pay out as little money as possible. That's what, you know, that's what a for-profit business does. But the thing is they're evil. And they're evil because, like, I, you know, there are things that I'm like is evil and things that aren't. And it's sort of like, I don't know, if Cadillac wants to charge a shitload of money for their dumbass cars, go for it. Because you don't have to buy a Cadillac. You know what I mean? You could buy something a lot more modest for a lot less money. So it's like, I mean, if idiots want to waste their money on it, like, whatever. Do you know what I mean? If they're making a huge profit off of something, whatever. Because you could just not buy it. But healthcare is not something you can not buy. And health insurance is actually not something you could just not buy. It doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? It's a little bit like food. You know, if when you find out how much money like Kroger's making and you're just like, ugh. So I think what I'm saying here is I'm not an eat the rich in all scenarios person or all wealth is evil or all wealth has come about by evil means. You know, I guess I feel like, hey, man, if Nintendo's making a ton of money, whatever. You know what I mean? If the head of Nintendo is making like $10 million a year, I'm fine with that. Because like we could choose to not play Nintendo. But, you know, and they make a thing that's good and it's fun and we spend money on it and it's okay. But when you're a health insurance company making that same $10 million, you know, as an executive is... it's a different scenario, right? So anyway, everybody's like, I feel bad for the family, whatever. But I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, when you do something bad and then you face a consequence for it, for the most part, people don't think that way. Do you know what I mean? Like when, I don't know, a criminal who's a legit criminal is caught. And I don't think people are generally like, oh, man, I feel bad for his family. Do you know what I mean? Because you're like, you know, keeping in mind in this scenario, in this analogy, the family is well aware of what the husband is doing, well aware of the criminal activities. They may not be participating in any way, but they are definitely benefiting from it. And like what I'm talking about, too, is a guy who's not legally a criminal, but is definitely morally a criminal and just like worse than a criminal. Do you know what I mean? I guess like, you know, a drug dealer, I would be like, well, yeah, that's a crime. But I would be like, I don't know, man. Like, I know he's kind of taking advantage of somebody who has a problem and so on. But at the same time, we're talking about adults entering into a very brief temporary contract, and it's not required for, you know, the drug user to live to be using this drug, right? Like it's not required for an average person just trying to go about their lives and be a law-abiding citizen. They don't have to go to the drug dealer. Whereas, you know, the CEO of healthcare, you're like, yeah, I just did my elections of benefits for the year. I had no options that were not United Health for health and dental. My company is so awesome. We also are using them for dental this year, which I was like, great. Good. I'm glad we're going all in on United. That's a wonderful choice we're making. But, you know, and I think the other thing is, like, I think that everybody's having a hard time talking about this because they're like, I wouldn't do it myself. You know what I mean? I wouldn't whatever. And, like, I'm in that same boat, right? I don't own a gun. So, you know, obviously, if I wanted to do this, I'm many steps away from even having the option. But I think the difference is, like, you hear about this and you're like, I kind of understand why this person would do this. You know what I mean? Somebody shoots up a school and you just read about it and you're like, this person shot like two kindergartners in the back while they were on their way to school and killed them. And you're just like, there's nothing about that that makes sense. You know what I mean? There's nothing a kindergartner can do that, you know, would warrant that. But this, you're like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to say the guy didn't deserve it. You know, even if I wouldn't visit it upon him myself, that's not really the standard for what someone does and does not deserve. I would make an analogy here, or a comparison. Okay, I've probably told this story on here, but we'll do it again for reasons. I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you this story before I tell it. That's probably like one of my worst rhetorical habits is I'm like, I'm going to tell you about why and then tell you, you know, don't take it this way and don't do that. And I'm like, just tell the story and then, you know, see how it's going. We were out for a Santa rampage, bar crawl, Santa drinking, whatever. Everyone's fine. No one's being out of control. No one's being crazy. Okay. This isn't like a Santa rampage where someone's shitting on the floor. This was a pretty, you know, this is adults out drinking. We go into a bar and Poonmaster Flex, her costume involves, she was wearing like a glittery wreath around her neck, like a big necklace wreath. And there was this guy in the bar who was wasted and he was like, oh, I want to wear that. And she was like, okay. So she, you know, gave it to him and he put it on. So we're sitting in the bar for a while and then she's like, can I have that back? And he's like, no, I'm keeping it. And she was like, ha ha ha. And then he's like, seriously, was keeping it. You know, so I stepped in and I was just like, hey, man, how about this? I'll buy you a drink. We'll do a shot together and then you can give the wreath back. And he's like, OK, you know. And so it took some convincing. It took some doing. But we got it back from him, you know, and it wasn't very smooth. And he was very resistant and he was a total asshole. Right. He's just the kind of guy who you're like. You could tell why he was sitting in a bar by himself close to Christmas, super wasted, because you're like, yeah, I mean, this guy is probably an asshole. No one wants to go out drinking with this guy because he's like constantly in conflict, right? Cut to like 2 weeks later, Poonmaster Flex was volunteering at the hospital at that time, just at like a, you know, direction desk. And this guy comes in to the hospital and doesn't recognize her, of course, and he has a broken arm. And so, like, when that, you know, she told me about that, and I was like, I mean, yeah, like, you're telling me this, and I can't say I'm surprised. You know what I mean? The way this guy was acting and the, like, the way he was acting towards people in a bar, strangers who were just, like, goodly enough to be like, sure, you can go ahead and wear this wreath for a while, and then be like, okay, I'd like that back now, and to just be an asshole the way he was. I'm not surprised that he got his arm broken. You know, it's possible it wasn't broken in a fight or something like that. But it's also very possible, you know, that it was something like that, right? And so you see it and you're like, hey, man, I wasn't going to do it. You know, I took the peaceful road and was like, I'll buy you a drink and we'll get through it that way. But I also can't be surprised that somebody else took a more violent path with him. And I don't like feel bad for the guy. You know what I mean? Because the thing is, he set himself on a path and he, you know, is putting himself on this. And it's like, look, man, if you keep talking to this people this way and keep treating people this way, eventually you're going to run into someone who pushes back. You know what I mean? You're going to run afoul of somebody in some way. I mean, chances are most of us at some point in our life will have or will run across somebody who just totally irrationally and for no real reason treats us that way, right? Where we may get into a conflict or an almost conflict just because someone's so fucking unreasonable. And it has nothing to do with you. It's everything about them. And you just happen to be in their path that day, right? So if you're sort of actively bringing that out and like challenging people in that way, it's going to happen eventually. And like, I have very limited sympathy for you. I have no sympathy for this guy, right? With the broken arm. Because I'm like, well, you know, I like to imagine it happened because he fucked with the wrong person and found out. But maybe, you know, just he had an accident. But either way, I'm like, eh, you know, bye. And that's kind of how I feel about the United Health guy. I'm kind of like, you know, I guess it's been this way for a long time. So you didn't really expect to have this sort of consequence visited upon you. But once it happens, I think everybody kind of looks at it and is like, I think a lot of people's honest reaction is more like, I'm surprised something like this hasn't happened already. You know what I mean? If we live in a country where school children are shot because for no real reason, it's not shocking that someone would shoot someone for a valid reason we can understand. I mean, there are like two or three Denzel Washington movies based on this sort of thing, right? It's like, if this was a movie, I could tell you which of these two guys would be the hero figure and which would be the villain. You know what I'm saying? If this was a, you know, sort of sci-fi or it was sort of a drama novel, I think what we'd be seeing right now is a lot of people pulling for the defendant. I think that is what we're seeing right now. So anyway, let me tell another story to kind of sum up how I feel about it in general. When I was in high school, there was this really nice kid, really super smart, just nice guy, fun guy, real smart, a little bit of a nerd. You know, and he was Indian. He was like one of, I don't know, two or three Indian people in our school. So he probably got made fun of for that. I didn't really know him that well. And I didn't, you know his whole life or anything. But I was like acquaintance-y with him. And this other kid who was kind of your quintessential big dumb jock asshole, emphasis on the asshole, had a brain tumor like when we were in high school. And this nice kid, you know, we were talking about it because we were all just finding out about it. And this nice kid, sort of out of character for me and what I knew of him, said, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. And I was like, woof. But I was also like, he's not wrong. Like, I was like, what he's saying, I'm sure, is not something he's saying because this guy has never picked on him. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is not something this guy is saying because he's an asshole. This is something he's saying because I think what he was trying to do is say, like, you know what? I'm not going to pretend I feel bad about this because I don't. And I don't feel bad about it because this guy is such an asshole. So it was like shocking for me, but I also was like, I understand it. You know what I mean? If someone I really hated, something horrible happened to them, I wouldn't feel bad about it. You know what I mean? And there is a wide margin between something bad happening to someone and me visiting something upon them. But also in that margin, there's a difference between me feeling bad, feeling guilty because I harmed someone else directly, and feeling bad for somebody who was harmed that I had nothing to do with. So anyway, I guess, you know, I'm kind of in this boat of like, I'm just being honest with you about how I feel. I'm not shedding a tear over this guy. And, you know, his family, like, hey, man, my dad was out of the picture when I was in my early teens, and it sucked, and it's hard. You know what I mean? I don't know if he has kids. And, you know, that's the other thing. Everybody's like his family or whatever. And I'm like, you wouldn't even know if he had a family unless you looked it up. So, like, let's not pretend that you're that invested in an individual stranger. But... You know, my dad was out of the picture, and it's hard and it does suck. And I understand there's some issues there because it's like, well, this isn't your fault. You know what I mean? It's not your fault your dad was doing what he was doing. And it's not your fault that, you know, United Health is a horrific, monstrous company. But, you know, that's, what else can you say about it? I mean, you know, and the wife, I'm like, I mean, it's not like you didn't know what was going on at the company. It's not like you didn't know the kinds of things he was doing. It's not like you're unaware of, you know, and, you know, when you're spending your vacation, your Christmas vacation in Aspen every year, and, you know, you're taking your trips to Bermuda, Bahamas, and, you know, you're taking these fabulous vacations and living a very lavish lifestyle. It's not like you're totally unaware how that's possible. You know what I mean? You're not a 1940s housewife who is just like, I thought that's how much a garbage man made, you know, and it turns out my husband was mobbed up. But, you know, I don't know the economics of these things. It's not like that, right? You know what's going on. And I guess, like, as far as the family goes, wife and kids, you know, to an extent, I'm like, well, you know, instead of me feeling bad for the family, maybe this guy should have thought of that before he was fucking over other families. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he should have taken the opportunity of having a family as instructive and showing him, like, you know what? It's hurtful to me when people harm my family. And I would hate to see that happen to somebody else. Now that I understand how people feel about watching their child die and going into deep debt over that, now that I can sort of imagine that, maybe I should live my life a different way. I think what I'm saying is I put a lot of the responsibility on the guy. Because here's the thing. If Luigi had shot, like, you know, someone who worked at a phone center or someone who worked at a hospital or something like that, I think we would all be like, eh, you know, that's not so hot. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, if your loved one was killed by someone driving an F-250 because they're, like, giant and unsafe and that's a horrible thing, and then you went and shot someone at the dealership, that's not really what you should be doing. Do you know what I mean? That's not really going to get the message across to the right person. But going after someone so high up the ladder, you know, someone who works at, like, the phone center for United Healthcare is probably safe because they're probably in India. But if they shot someone like that, you'd be kind of like, you know, I know this is a horrible system. I know this company takes a lot of money from people and it's horrible. But, like, this guy working at the phone center is not, like, reaping the benefits of that. You know what I mean? This guy at the phone center is not making decisions about people's health care. It, you know, this person is answering the phone and just kind of has to do whatever they're told. And they don't have a choice. They don't have agency. They have no ability. No one's asking them, you know, do you think we should cover this procedure? Right. And so I think we'd all feel bad about that and it wouldn't be the same. But this is the guy who could make decisions, you know what I mean, who does have some power in the situation to determine the fate of others. And so, you know, to an extent, I'm like, well, he could have determined his own fate as well. So I don't know, I guess it's, like, very flippant of me and it's maybe a little unfeeling and I feel that's uncharacteristic of me, but I guess I just feel over the last week or so a lot of people are just putting on this fake thing of, like, you know, I feel bad for so-and-so. And I'm like, I don't, you know what I mean? I just don't feel bad. And here's the other big thing. Okay. As far as how I feel about it going forward, I think I'm also just like, today I don't feel bad and maybe I will feel bad later. And maybe, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of depends. The way I want to say that I feel about this really depends on the future, because if this shooting changes things for the better, it may be justified, in my opinion, right? If you know, BCBS is having a meeting right now. I just saw, you know, there was a thing about in a couple states, there were a couple insurance companies that were like, maybe what we should do is only pay for anesthesia for certain procedures up to a certain time limit. And after that, the patient's on the hook for the cost of the anesthesia. And, you know, doctors were like, this is fucking crazy. You know what I mean? And you should not do this. This is not a good idea. We aren't abusing anesthesia to keep people under any moment longer than we have to. You know, this isn't someone taking advantage of the system here. And so what I heard was they were talking about this. And after the shooting, they were like, never mind. Now, this could be not a totally correct version of the events or the timeline of the events. And it's entirely possible that it wasn't the shooting that changed their mind. But what I'm saying is, I don't hate the idea that in a bunch of boardrooms, you know, across the nation, decisions are being made. And I don't hate the idea that maybe when they're making those decisions, there's a little nodule, a little modicum of fear there. Not even fear, but just like a recognition of there may be a consequence for me personally based on this decision that I make. You know what I'm saying? I'm an accessible human being. And this decision is not going to make anyone happy. You know what I mean? This decision is not going to be seen as one that's made in any kind of charitable light. And so maybe I should not make this decision this way. Do you know what I'm saying? It sucks, but it's like if someone had to go that far to reach folks like that, if they had to go that far just to get people to say, like, what if I thought about this as a human being as opposed to a profit-making machine? If that's what it takes, and if it works, I don't hate it. However, you know, if I think what's more likely to happen here, you know, in the days following the shooting, it was like all these health insurance companies were like taking their, you know, about us and our executive team. They're taking all that shit off their website and taking down their LinkedIn profiles and doing all this stuff. My guess is that what's going to happen is that this is not going to change their policies. They're not going to see this as, you know, we could probably avoid this by doing things, making decisions that, you know, we are willing to stand behind. And if we're making wise decisions, you know, what if instead of making $10 billion in profit this year, we made $5 billion? You know what I'm saying? What if we made an asinine amount of money instead of an amount of money that's not comprehensible by humans? You know what I'm saying? If we did that, and then I don't think it would be such a problem. You know what I mean? I don't think it would be something I would be concerned about. If it was like, you know, someone got shot and it was like, well, he worked for a pretty small insurance firm. They were a pretty small player. And, you know, this guy was upset because treatment was really expensive. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? But this is just, it's just horrific. But what I think is going to happen is, you know, executive level people and stuff will stop, like, probably Instagramming. And will probably stop using LinkedIn and having their face and, you know, itinerary out in the world and probably hire some security. So, you know, I think what's more likely is all of us are going to end up paying for this shit because now we're paying for private security to follow these assholes around all the time to protect them from us. So if that's what happens, it's not justified, right? Because the results... It's a real, for me, like the ends could justify the means kind of thing. You know, if what Luigi did ends up really changing the health insurance industry, I mean, that genuinely will save lives, right? And not only save lives, I think that's another big thing that's getting lost in here. But we're talking about, like, you know, United Health will turn people down for surgeries or procedures or whatever. And they're not things that would save your life, but they would genuinely improve your life. And they don't give a shit about that, right? And it's like, well, maybe if they were a little bit more in the let's improve people's lives camp, that would help. And so if this did change things so that people's lives were saved and or improved, you know, I'm Team Luigi. Like, I just, that's how I would feel. I think history would be on my side there, or on his side, because history would be like, we had this really terrible system, and then somebody did something, you know, and they went outside the law, and it's very questionable morally, but the result was a very positive change for every person living in the United States. So anyway, I think for right now, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it because I don't know what the results will be. It's like an experiment has been set off and now we have to see what comes of it. And I'm very nervous or very cynically sure that it'll be nothing, right? It'll just be kind of another passing thing that we do nothing about. But hey, I'm open to the possibility. So anyway, I'm going to get back to my list here of executives who need to watch out. Okay, let's get back to the lighter side, the helpful side of Helpful Snowman here. We talked about flower bag manufacturers. Next, we're going to talk about whoever designs nail clippers that just make your nails kapwing off into space. Okay, whenever I clip my nails, they just go fucking flying. It's like they were rocket boosted off. I swear to God, it's like if I was apt to believe any conspiracy theory, the theory I would believe is that the designers of nail clippers, you know, hired like amazing engineers. They had like the Manhattan Project going. They had their Oppenheimer out in the desert somewhere who perfectly designed a nail clipper to just send nails shooting off in a completely unpredictable way. Now, I like looked this up because I was like, how do people clip their nails and not have them go shooting off? And everyone's like, take a shower. And I'm like, okay, so my nails are long. I notice, you know, in the middle of the day, my nails are long. I have to take a shower just to clip my nails. Like, what the fuck? You know, it's such a waste of time and water and energy. Like, forget that. Just, you know, forget it. I'm not doing it. You shouldn't either. So whoever designed them that way, maybe in a conspiracy, maybe not, that guy better look out. Just, you know, be careful. Next on my list, not my list, the list, is college football coaches. I just think that college football coaches get paid so much, right? And a lot of shootings happen at schools. And there's a lot of like anxiety and talk about student debt. And I do think colleges could probably save a lot of money by not having sports. You know what I mean? Not doing sports. Almost like, you know, it was a school. And if you wanted to do sports, that you could just pay for that yourself. And, you know, fuck the rest. Because like, why should I as a college student pay for you to be entertained? You know what I'm saying? I think college football coaches are kind of the figurehead there, right? And they're paid the most and, you know, they're ridiculous, horrible, stupid assholes. I'm thinking specifically of Coach Prime, who's in a lot of Colorado stuff because he's like the coach at Colorado University. And, you know, he's in like UC Health commercials, which I fucking hate. He's like in these commercials with his stupid sunglasses on. And I'm like, why am I hearing from him about like how I should be healthy? Fuck you. You know what I mean? How about this? You take 15 cents off the bill for my physical. How about that? And you don't hire him to be in your commercial. I don't need a commercial for the hospital, by the way. I'll go when I need to go. You know what I mean? I go for my yearly checkup. I shouldn't have to watch commercials. It's like, this is my wish for the future of advertising. You know, people are like, oh, like cookies and stuff. And it shows you ads for things you looked at and it's creepy. But I'm like, you know what? If I buy something, I should be exempt from having to see the ads for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm sitting on the couch eating Pizza Hut, I shouldn't have to watch a Pizza Hut commercial. I should be like, I bought it. I did it. I did the thing. I did the one thing you're asking me to do. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to watch a commercial for a product that I'm currently using. If I, you know, I mean, it would make me switch my insurance to Geico because I'd be like, they have the most fucking commercials. And I'd be like, I would never have to see a Geico commercial again. I'll do it. It would be a new way of holding us hostage. But, you know, they would just be like, here's a terrible, boring commercial. And this is what you have to watch. I'm Peter Francis Geraci. And these are my info tapes. Okay, this is a little bit of a weird one and maybe a personal pet peeve. I want to just warn whoever is doing needless tests on animals for when you see a study that comes out and it's like, it turns out science proves dogs do love us. I mean, you know, maybe this person doesn't need to watch out. The person doing these studies or approving these studies, you know, whoever was like, you know what we need to do is get a cat into an MRI machine so that we can like see what the cat is thinking. And it's like, do we though? Because does me knowing what a cat is thinking change how I feel about it? Not really. And like, you know, it's like, do dogs love us? It's like, well, no fucking shit. Why are we testing something, you know? Is breathing better than not breathing? Science found out, yes, it is. Oh, okay. Great. I'm glad we're, you know, let's check all the boxes and make sure all the things we know that we actually know them. I'm just saying, like, can we do some science, you know, on some things that are like killing us and destroying our lives? Dogs are fine. Dogs are making us happy. I mean, if you're trying to do a science on a dog to be like, oh, maybe we could cure like hip dysplasia in this breed of dog or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, great, do it. That would be awesome. But like doing the whole, you know, dogs see us as members of their pack. And I'm like, okay, you know, that information really doesn't help me at all, but okay. Thank you. Whoever's doing those, I think you should watch out, but I don't think you're going to get assassinated. You know what I mean? Maybe just a stern talking to that you should watch out for. You see someone coming up to you on the sidewalk with a mean look on their face. Maybe you're about to take some shit. So just, you know, I guess be ready for that. Next is people who try and make their friends attend multi-level marketing thingies. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing a Mary Kay or a Tupperware party or a dildo party or a whatever, a LuLaRoe party, watch out. You know, when I think about that, though, here's what's interesting about that. Like, you're going to push a friend too far and they're just going to be like, I gave you all this money for Mary Kay and now you're asking me for some other thing. Pampered Chef. But then I wonder, like, that person shoots their friend and then they go to prison. But, like, multi-level marketing kind of exists in prison, right? Like, if you shot someone trying to sell Mary Kay and then you go to prison, there's probably some kind of commissary-based multi-level marketing you'd just be trapped in while you're in prison. I mean, it would probably be a little bit of a punishment fits the crime thing, right? Kind of constantly caught up in some kind of economic system that you don't want any part of when you're in prison. All right, next I have whoever made the free right. The free right is a wonderful Wi-Fi-enabled device that allows distraction-free writing on a mechanical keyboard with a beautiful e-ink screen. I think the maker of the free write is going to be hunted down by internet service providers or possibly someone from Meta or other social media because you're pulling away all their business with your wonderful device. Being able to type distraction-free is something that others are not going to be happy about. They're not going to hear all the ads or see all the sidebar ads. You know, Google's not going to get all your information if you're using a free write. It's changing the world and it's changing it for the better. But that's why I think you need to watch out, designers of the free write, available at freewrite.com/helpfulsnowman. Guys, I'm pretending to do commercials for the Free Write in like everything I do, like newsletters and stuff, because I think it's so funny. I think it's such a funny device because it's like, it's a good idea. Okay, it's like a mechanical keyboard. It's nice to type on, and it just shows you like three lines of text at a time. And the idea is like, this is just for writing, and you could write a novel or whatever on it. It's very portable. It has a long battery life. It has an e-ink screen, and it doesn't do anything except word process. You can't even really edit on it. You mostly just can like type. And but what I think is funny about it is that it's like $600. That's fucking crazy. I made what's basically a Free Write for, I would guess, $70 in parts, you know, like, I mean, it's so insane that it's like I have to buy a $600 device in order. Guys, let me explain to you how you can do this on the cheap and much better and much more sane, and everything about it is better. OK, get a cheap ass laptop and you just physically break the Wi-Fi. You break it so it cannot possibly transmit things through Wi-Fi, and you're done. You take documents off of it by, well, first you make sure you install your writing software. I would suggest using something like Jart, which sounds like Shart, but it's not. It's Jart. And you throw that on there, and then you disable the Wi-Fi forever, and you're done. You could probably also, you know, get some script or program that just kicks it right to your document. That's what my homebrew Free Write device sort of thing does, is I turn it on and it immediately goes into the document I was last working on, and the cursor is right where I left off. It's amazing. It's great. Costs like $70. Anyway, I think the Free Write's hilarious, and I couldn't resist. I can't resist taking a jab at them every so often. This might be my new thing for 2025, is just to sort of declare the Free Write my enemy. And maybe this is like a thing where I'm trying to get a free write, because that way, you know, Free Write company, prove me wrong. Make me eat my own words, which I've typed out on your beautifully designed, thoughtful keyboard devices. Next on the list is the CEO of Quality Auto Sound. Because has there ever been a company that's annoyed more people by proxy than Quality Auto Sound? You know, they're putting huge subs and stuff in a car and then it just like shakes your whole fucking house when it's driving by. The hours of cumulative lost sleep has certainly had a negative effect on the health of our nation. And like, you know, based on this too, like, what are the statistical odds that everyone I've ever lived and shared a wall with likes shitty music? How is that possible? Like, nobody I've ever met in real life really listens to a lot of shitty dance music, but like every neighbor I've had listens to shitty dance music. You know what I mean? It's like, do they sell a CD that's, you know, like jock jams, but it's actually called annoying neighbor jams? And it's like, you want to piss off your neighbors? And they're sitting over there in their apartment. The speakers are facing the wall instead of facing inside. And they're wearing earplugs playing this because they hate me. That's what it feels like. So, I mean, like, CEO of Quality Auto Sound, you're not at the level of CEO of United Health. But, man, you've annoyed the shit out of a lot of people. Your company is basically built around the idea of annoying people. Next. The CEO of RoseArt. You know, I mentioned RoseArt quite a bit in my one of the Goosebumps Potoween episodes, just because I think RoseArt is such like a terrible company. Well, I don't know if they're a terrible company, but they make a terrible product. And, you know, it's crayons and crap like that. And I'm like, crayons are so cheap. Like, how much money are you saving getting a RoseArt instead of a Crayola? But, you know, they suck. They don't work. They're like too hard and waxy, and it's like you just rub a crayon on something and it doesn't actually leave any crayon on the paper. It's almost like a Zen art school exercise as opposed to coloring. And like, the thing is, if you had those in school when you were a kid, that's a wound that would never heal. You know what I mean? It would just never, you would never recover from it. I would be totally fascinated to have the CEO of RoseArt on this show. Like, if they were coming in knowing that I was, like, going to ask them basically, like, how do you sleep at night? Like, how, what do you feel like is your reason for existing? Do you know what I mean? This, maybe this is the another new direction for this show, is like, this show could become, you know, there's tons of podcasts that interview like successful people and CEOs, and they're like, we're going to have Mark Cuban on. But I'll have like the people who are CEOs of terrible companies. You know what I mean? People, companies that are known for being shitty, and I'll just bring on their CEOs and be like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, what are you doing? Why? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? Who's the CEO of RC Cola? You know what I mean? What keeps the pistol out of that guy's mouth on a daily basis? I mean, how do you get by just knowing like, I don't know. We gave it away for free with pizza, and it still, you know, we're still maybe the third biggest cola, but not really. Oof. And third biggest is, you know, a big, it's like if you were third in the 100 meter dash, but it took you 5 hours because there are only three. Let's see. Okay, next I've got ad copywriters at Blue Chew, Casper Mattress, MeUndies, Stamps.com, and any other number of beard-based product companies. All these things that are shilled on podcasts. I mean, I like that you're paying podcasters, but I also feel you're contributing heavily to the sort of dystopic ad-filled nature of the world. And, you know, people are not going to take kindly to that. Like, when I'm listening to Conan O'Brien as your new best friend and they play an ad for something like betterhelp.com, I'm like, why are you doing this, Conan? Do you need to do this? Do you need the ad revenue money from your podcast? Is that really necessary? You know what I mean? How much do you need? How much do you deserve, Conan? Conan. Last, but certainly not least, is the whoever writes the Court of Thorns and Roses books. Again, this is a little bit like, you know, the person who doesn't deserve any harm visited upon them, okay? But I do feel like there's many a husband out there whose wife has been lost to these books, and I feel like that guy's coming for you, and you should watch out. You know, you could only write so many of these, like, fantastical sort of teen-lit romances that, you know, really absorb a woman before her husband is going to be like, I've had enough of this shit. And his life is falling apart, probably mostly due to his own fault and his own actions. But still, he's going to be looking for someone to take it out on. So, you know, you especially, I'm not saying deserve this in any way. I'm just saying, watch out. Keep an eye out. I don't know. People are doing crazy shit out there. You know what I mean? Things are happening. And I don't want you to get caught up in it. It wouldn't be fair if it happened. It would be a tragedy and a very big misstep in the world. But it could happen. And I just feel like you may be in some danger. You know, I did have, I do have one last thing to say about this shooting. Something interesting that happened is for many years, okay, so when the book Fight Club in the movie came out, for a long time, conservative people hated it, right? Because it has, you know, the contents that it has. Then it kind of flipped. And then it was progressive people hated it and hated its readers and hated the kind of person who would say Fight Club was their favorite book because, it is, you know, toxic masculinity and that kind of thing, right? Incel, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And now I saw it has flipped again to an extent, and conservative people are talking about Fight Club and saying like, yeah, this was, you know, something that inspires people to violence and like sort of brings the violence in this corporate world together in this weird way. I am so fucking sick of people blaming that book for things. I'm very sick of people blaming books in general, but especially that book. Guys, this is a 30-year-old novel about men being unable to express themselves and have physical contact with each other and intimate relationships that are non-sexual. And how do you express that in a book? You know what I mean? It's a cleverly plotted, well-written book. It's very enjoyable. And the biggest idiot you know probably was in a fight club one time. You know what I mean? And started it and then realized it's a really fucking stupid idea. It's incredibly stupid to do a fight club. But, you know, people did it. I'm just very tired of, you know, like, if only Fight Club didn't exist, Tragedy X wouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? If only so-and-so hadn't made music, if only such-and-such video game never came out, this never would have happened. Guys, it would have happened. Okay? Art does not create this sort of impetus. It reflects the world we live in. Fight Club did not create the world we live in today. It reflected the world we were living in at the time in the 90s. Like, for real. I read this book called Is Art Good for Us? I think that's what it's called. And basically the author, she was saying, like, you know, art didn't cause any of the world's problems. Why do we expect art to fix the problems? I'm like, yeah, just leave it alone. You know what I mean? Some art can fix the problems, or, you know, some art's motivating and uplifting and whatever. If you like that bullshit, go for it. I'm not trying to stop you from doing that at all. I'm just saying, can we just stop with this already? Can we, once we have a full 180 from both sides on something? So in other words, once something's hated by conservative people, then hated by progressive people, then hated by conservative people, once it's made that full 360, can we then say, all right, this is probably not valid anymore? And made the full 360 for the same reasons. You know what I mean? It's not like this is updated new information. It's the same as it's always been. And you hate it for the same reasons. I hate it so much. It's like, executives, you could not sleep well at night because Fight Club never existed. If only that book never existed, I would get a full night's sleep again. You know, my family would be safe. I wouldn't have to deal with this. No, that's not how it works. That's not ever how it worked. It's not ever how it's going to work. Okay? Books are not the problem. Repeat after me. Books are not the problem. One more time. You said it without me that time, you fucking sucker. Somebody should talk about two.